Good morning, church. Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, no one else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by himself. We must walk this lonesome valley. The way is dark. We cannot see. But we will not fear this lonesome valley. He walked it once for you and me. These are the words from the spiritual that will be sung immediately following my homily. The words of this song are in concert with the words we read from Mark this morning. The feelings and images evoked are same in both. They are images and feelings of isolation and loneliness. But Mark doesn't start with the loneliness. He doesn't start with the isolation that is his later focus and the focus of this song. Mark starts with something joyous. Jesus sees his cousin John. John was a character and a preacher. John's and Jesus' history with each other goes as far back as prenatal. Mary, Jesus' mother, and Elizabeth, John's mother, were related. Scripture tells us that when Mary and Elizabeth greeted each other while they were both pregnant, Elizabeth's baby leapt in her womb. So it must have been a joy for Jesus to see his cousin John. It must have been a comfort to Jesus to know that John shared his sense of mission and purpose. It must have been reassuring to know that John had prepared the way for him. And then Jesus gets baptized from John, by John. I must admit a bias here, and I might be projecting onto Jesus my own feelings at my own baptism. I remember my baptism well, and I remember it as a deeply spiritual experience. You see, I wasn't raised in the Episcopal Church. I was raised in a Baptist church. In a Baptist church, baptism is not performed in infancy. It comes after you make the decision to commit yourself to Christ and publicly declare it. Baptism in the Baptist church requires complete submersion. It signifies a new beginning, a rebirth. I remember my aunt saying to me a few days before my baptism that all of my sins were going to be washed away from me, and they were going to go down the drain into Lake Michigan. I remember that Sunday afternoon. I was dressed all in white. And as I walked to the water, I walked down this aisle, and all the members of the church reached out to touch me, to lay their hands on me as I passed. And they all sang, "Take me to the water, take me to the water, take me to the water to be baptized." And when I got to the water, my family was there. My mother was in tears, and my Uncle Joe, who was a deacon, walked me into the water and handed me over to the minister. The minister said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost," and he put me under. Without any thought, when I came up, I screamed, "Thank you, Jesus, thank you." It was an exuberant, deeply emotional, and transcendent feeling for me. So I know what Jesus felt like, particularly that given that after Jesus' baptism, the heavens opened up and God said to him, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." This had to be one of the highlights of Jesus' short life, seeing John, publicly declaring his faith, having the heavens open up, having the Spirit descend upon him like a dove, and getting positive and personal affirmations from God. This was all good stuff for Jesus. But then suddenly, and with what seemed to be no warning, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be alone. According to Mark, Jesus went from jubilation to desolation and challenge, with nothing in between. What struck me most about what Mark portrayed was an overwhelming sense of isolation and loneliness. As the song says, Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. And what came to my mind was this past year. For many, this past year has been a year of isolation and loneliness. COVID has presented us with many challenges. COVID is a mean and cruel disease. COVID is devastating. But not only is it devastating, it takes away our typical methods of dealing with devastation. COVID required that we separate ourselves from our normal friends and acquaintances. We stayed in our homes and only went out with great trepidation. Normal things in life, like grocery shopping, became anxiety-provoking major expeditions. Like Jesus, we were isolated and lonely. We had grandchildren and nieces and nephews born that we couldn't welcome and couldn't hold. We had mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles that we couldn't visit that we couldn't touch. Elderly people who felt alone and isolated before COVID were struck with devastation now. I'm convinced that many people in nursing homes that died over the past year died as a result of the loneliness they experienced. Without the presence and support of their loved ones, they simply gave up. As the song says, Jesus had to walk that lonely valley alone. It was dark, he couldn't see. For us, these were dark days over the past year. And like the lack of transition for Jesus from the joys of the baptism to the desolation of the wilderness, there seemed to be no transition for us. We went from life as we knew it to absolute chaos with no transition. Janice and I were en route to the naming of one of our granddaughters, and we planned to stay overnight in New York City. Now, I normally receive 75 to 100 emails per day. Most of them do not require my attention or response. They are simply information sharing. That morning on the way to New York, the flow was normal, but by that evening, it had exploded to 50 per hour. Our world had gone from something we knew to a whole new universe with little preparation or transition. After much discussion and consternation, the naming was canceled and we returned to Hartford. COVID was so devastating that it actually affected the life expectancy in the United States. The numbers of people that were sick and died is beyond our comprehension. 500,000 people have died in the past year from COVID. To give you some perspective, Hartford only has 120,000 residents. The death toll from COVID is over four times the population of Connecticut's capital city. But perhaps the cruelest thing about COVID is that while it inflicted misery and pain, it also took away our mechanisms for dealing with that pain. For people in general, but for Christians in particular, our mechanism for dealing with life's difficulties is to reach out to each other. As members of our churches, we visit those who are sick and otherwise shut in. That wasn't possible with COVID. COVID took that away. We deal with the death of a loved one by being with that person when they die, to hold their hand and say goodbye when they take their last breath. We weren't allowed to be with the victims of COVID while they transition. And after the death of a loved one, we see each other. We come together as a whole church community to commemorate the life of the departed and to support the family. We could not do that with COVID. We were left to deal with the pain of loss without the direct support of our community. And so, just like the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, into isolation, so did COVID thrust us into pain, anxiety, loneliness, and isolation. While in this wilderness COVID, some of us were overtaken by our addiction. Over 81,000 drug overdoses occurred during the United States in the past 12 months. Or the year ending in May 2020, the highest number of overdose deaths ever recorded in a 12-month period, according to the CDC. Also, according to the CDC, 40% of Americans experience some form of mental health crisis versus the usual 10%. And of course, you always have the double whammy that COVID presents. COVID created conditions for stress, anxiety, and depression to drastically increase, at the same time that it created conditions under which help to deal with those crises were drastically reduced. Somebody listening to me right now lost somebody to addiction over the past year. While we've been in isolation, somebody that can hear me right now experienced symptoms of mental illness they thought were resolved. Anxiety and depression that they thought had resolved and left behind came again. Some of us experience acute anxiety for the first time. For some of us, long-term relationships that we trusted and had confidence in were tested and strained. For somebody who can hear me right now, the isolation and loneliness of this past year was so distressing that we questioned continuing to live at all. Remember, it is okay not to be okay. Do not dismay. Do not give up or give in. You are not alone. Jesus loves you and we love you. Hang in there. Know that you did not create this wilderness called COVID. Know that your emotional response to this plague is not a manifestation of your weakness. Rather, it is a manifestation of you attempting to cope with a disaster of catastrophic proportions. Your continued emotional distress is also a manifestation of the fact that your normal mechanisms for relieving stress were not available in the wilderness. You are not weak. You are not defective. You are a human being in distress, and you are God's child, and God don't make no junk. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, out of isolation, things were not as he left them. John was gone. He was in jail. The person that he knew shared his mission, that understood his purpose, that person was gone. Jesus had to move on alone on so many levels. For Jesus, he was entering the unknown, and he had to do it alone. And so it is with us. By any measures, particularly for those of us in Connecticut, we are at the beginning of the end of the COVID plague. We can actually feel that this too shall pass, but things will never be the same. Many of us talk daily about a new normal, a new normal. A new normal is just a positive attempt at saying things will never be the same. Human contact will never be valued or experienced the way it was. Already, many organizations that moved to Zoom meetings during COVID have announced that they will not be returning to face-to-face meetings. Clinicians have announced that they will continue to do video therapy meetings. I'm not suggesting that all the ramifications of COVID will be negative. As a congregation, we have learned how to use technology to bring our services and to the homes of people who otherwise could not have joined us. Members of our congregations who travel have now a way of continuing to worship with us even when they are away. I know that our reopening group is considering ways to continue to provide that accessibility. The very same measures we developed to address COVID infection issues may make our church more welcoming for the sight impaired. And it's not a huge leap to think that the same technology can be used for people to worship from home, who home can make the sanctuary more welcoming to the hearing impaired. No longer will congregants who find themselves in a hospital be deprived of worship with the people they know and love. Yes, our Jesus was thrown into isolation, into wilderness by the Spirit, but when he emerged, things were not as he left them. But my Jesus forged on. He preached the good news and went to work to bring about the kingdom of God. And Jesus was not the only biblical character that spent time in exile in the wilderness. No, it is a long-standing tradition. Moses, Joseph, Elijah, and Paul all spent time in isolation experiencing difficulties. They all learned lessons in isolation, lessons they used to fulfill the word and will of God Almighty. None of them came out of the wilderness the way they went in. And so it must be with us. Like Jesus, we must use our wilderness experience to make ourselves better people. We must come from the desolation of COVID better individuals and a better community. I know we will. I have already seen it begin to happen. And I'm going to close with one of my very favorite Bible verses. It's from Romans. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.